B-Pod Studios.
It is the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. And he also brings us our 4 o'clock guest on Friday. He joins us every Friday from 4 to 5. He is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. B. West.
Mikey Miss, how's it going, my friend?
What's going on today?
Hey, it's another day, man. It's another day. It's Friday. I'm excited.
You're excited?
Yeah, I am excited.
You know, there are a lot of people that aren't excited, and I'm one of them. Because I saw something last night, took a little piece of my heart away, and I'm starting to think that maybe it's likely that the Sixers do not get past the second round instead of going past the second round.
You were discouraged by that basketball game last night. Is that what you're telling me?
Totally discouraged by it.
Really?
Yeah. You were not? It was entertaining, right? It was fun. It was fantastic and fun to watch, wasn't it?
I thought it was a good game to watch. I thought it was certainly telling, and telling in the way that, similar to the way that the Celtics series, playoff series last year was to me. It kind of shows some flaws, shows some things we need to work on, shows some things we can do differently, but it also showed me that we could win these types of games if we make some slight changes in philosophy and attitude. And so I'm going to start here. And to me, this kind of showed the entire thought process of the game for the Sixers. I'm looking at the free throw line. 43 free throws for the Bucks, 18 for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. To me, that's unacceptable. But that not only is it unacceptable, that tells me the thought process. That tells me the mentality of a team. So when I watch Giannis, I see a 7-foot player that says, I'm getting to the basket every time, and I'm going to dunk on you. Uh-huh. I'm not going to try to get a layup. I'm not trying to get a bucket. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get a hook. I'm trying to put it on your head every single time. That's the mindset that I want Ben to have. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset I think Embiid has. He's just a scoring machine, and so he has it already. But if Ben has that mindset, we wouldn't be talking about seven points for Ben.
We're on the same page here, because it's been my whole problem with last night's game was that Ben Simmons just sometimes is not engaged in what he's doing and does not have that mindset. Like, for instance, I ask you this question. If you're stopping me from doing this, which is, in Ben's case, driving to the basket, what's my move? Do I quit and stop trying to do it, or do I try to beat their ass anyway?
Well, yeah, well, that's the thing that Ben doesn't have.
That's what perplexes me.
Right, right.
But how do you not want to get past what they're doing to stop you?
You know, I'll say this, and I don't want to say this about Ben because I don't want to think of him in this way. But there's a softness to Ben when he gets deterred very easily, and when a guy goes at him like Giannis went at him, and when he dunked on him early on and throughout the game, he backs down. And to me, that's not the competitor that I want Ben Simmons to be. That's not the Philadelphia Ben Simmons that I thought he was. That's not the guy that I thought he was going to continue to be and flourish to be. And so last year we mentioned, you know, he needed to work on his game, needed to find a jump shot. He didn't do that. But this year I thought he found different ways to score. He was more creative. Now I saw him last night and I'm just like, but Ben, what's going on? You have to find a way to get a bucket. You have to find a way to lead this basketball team. He wasn't willing to do that. It worried me just a bit.
All right, so we're looking at the game the same way now. So now, I see that, my reaction is, you know, geez, if that's the way it's going to be, there's no way they get past the second round. But you're still optimistic that they can do it. Now tell me how they can change that up.
Well, this is going to require two things, and I think this is a part of Brett Brown keeping his job. It's getting in the film room and saying, Ben, look at this. Look at these options here. This is you crossing half court, running across the free throw line with the ball, not even looking at the basket. Be aggressive. Be the player that you can be. Go score the basket. You are the guy with the ball in your hands. You have to be able to go to the basket. And I'm not talking about shooting jump shots. I'm not saying Ben now has to be a jump shooter. He needs to be able to knock down a 10-footer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying go get you a layup. Because I watched Giannis, you know, I saw him up here in Brooklyn, went to the game, and then I saw him this week, yesterday against the Sixers. And he doesn't care. He'll Eurostep 30 times a game.
Exactly.
and try to get a dunk. Up here in Brooklyn, he took two threes. He made one. He mm-hmm. airballed one. He took a foul line a jumper. And other than that, they were all dunk attempts, basically, or layups. That's it. That's what Ben can do. They're the same size. Now, here's the difference. Giannis looks to be much bigger. Obviously, he's 30 mm-hmm. pounds heavier.
Yes.
He's older.
He's more seasoned.
Yeah, he's more seasoned. But I want Ben to have that mentality. And he has it sometimes. He has it sometimes, but to me, it seems like it's only when guys don't come at him. And in the playoffs against the teams that we're going to play, guys will come at him every night. Guys will test him every night. Kawhi is going to test him. Giannis is going to test him. And when Giannis dunked on Ben last night, I felt that that Giannis took his heart.
That was the one on the baseline?
Yeah.
Where he just bullied him out of it.
And then Ben didn't jump, just moved out of the way, allowed him to dunk on it. I hate saying it. Hey, here's the other thing that bothered me, and I've kind of seen it shifting this way more and more. And obviously, you didn't have Jimmy at the end of the game. But because of not having Jimmy, now Tobias Harris has to handle the ball at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's the quote-unquote closer role. But because Ben can't do a lot of different things, he has to either play in a post or in the corner. He can't play in the corner because it's easy to double team. So you try to put him in a post, and that means that now, you know, he's in the way. I mean, he's in the way. And when he's in the post, guess where Embiid is at? On the three-point line, mm-hmm. shooting threes. 3 for 9 last night. I mean, it's just, and listen, he could have shot 10 more threes if he wanted to. They were giving it to him. I'm confused as to what this team is going to be and how they're going to win now.
From the mindset of a former professional athlete, you can't lose your confidence or you're dead. And for some reason that I can't explain, when I see Ben Simmons and like have a monster game against Golden State, and I see this confidence in an all-time high, and then last night I don't see any confidence, and I don't see from Tobias Harris either. What happened to Tobias Harris's confidence? How do you lose your confidence as a professional athlete like these two guys seemingly have lost it? And then how do you get it back?
Well, to me, it would be, and I don't know how they lost it, because they shouldn't be from game to game losing it like that. But to me, again, this goes back to the coach. It goes back to say, you know what, we're going to get Tobias Harris going early on. Like, in football terms, and I'll never forget this, the first Saturday meeting we had with T.O. was there, 04. You know, Andy gives his first 15. In the first 15, T.O. must have had, I don't know, you know, 10 plays that were mm-hmm. going to him.
Exactly.
It was important
uh-huh.
that Andy got him going early, because if you didn't get him going early, then there's a chance that he may pout and mope the rest of the mm-hmm. game, and you won't have him late. To me, it's important to get Tobias Harris going early, because especially when Jimmy's not there, he's a guy that you need 20 to 23 points from every single time that Jimmy's not there. You have to get him going early, and they never call any plays for Tobias Harris. They never put him in the position to score. It's Embiid or Ben on a fast break. They run the screen for JJ. They don't put him in a position, and they almost, to me, it's almost like, hey, Tobias Harris is the last resort. But really, he's probably your second leading scorer.
No, I agree with you that and you have to do that with Butler too to get him engaged.
Same exact thing.
Yeah, he's more like T.O. than Tobias is. Tobias, see, I'm trying to figure. Tobias has played with a lot of bad teams. He's been a mm-hmm. good player on bad teams, and now this is a different scenario. And so I don't know if he's really a good player on a good team, because last night I just saw a guy that was didn't have the look. You know, he didn't have that look that I want to compete and bust somebody.
But Mike, here's the thing. And again, I'm not saying fire Brett Brown. I'm not saying any of those things. But guess whose job that is to make sure guys are ready to play? I've heard it all throughout my career with Andy. It's my job. This is what coaches mm-hmm. say. It's my job to make sure that you're ready to play. And it's my job as a coach to make sure I'm putting my players in the best position for their success. You don't have Jimmy. Now it's time to get Tobias the ball. Mm-hmm. Now it's trying to do some different things with JJ. It doesn't seem like this team has that counterpunch. And, of course, if they're good enough that they can go out and just beat people up and down the floor, yes. But against the better teams, they're going to stop what you do best, and then you have to have that counterpunch, and we just didn't have that last night. And it's a shame, because I'm wondering now if we actually have it at all. That's a big question.
And that's what I'm wondering about today. And I'm on the other side. I wasn't on this side until today, until I saw that game last night. And I said, you know what? I'm more on the side that they lose in the second round than win in the second round. And I got to get past that. I got to see something. And I'm not going to see it for the rest of the year because these are all throwaway games. I don't even see a rotation yet. I don't even know who he's going to use in the playoffs in a rotation.
Well, you got Mike Scott. He got hot. I mean, there was points in the game where they couldn't miss a shot from the three-point line. Mike Scott got hot yesterday. I think he played well in his time, so he's coming off the bench. And I listened to Legs a little bit earlier today, and I think he had a good point where he said, listen, your starting five is your bench at this point. You're going to have to take two guys off the court and then bring, leave the other three on the court and then rotate that way, which a lot of teams do. That's nothing new. The big problem is if you leave Ben on the court, some of these guys come off the bench have to be scorers now. That's the big problem. It's becoming more and more hard to hide Ben in these types of games, especially as you get better teams. And I'm concerned about that.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the phones here and talk to some people. Jake in Harrisburg. Jake, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. What's up, bud?
I'm a little frustrated today.
Yep.
But it's an honor to be able to be on the show with the great B. West, although you did come on and steal my thunder pretty much out the gate. But that's all right.
That's because he's a very perceptive basketball man, B. West.
I read your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, when I look at the game last night, yes, it was lost in the fourth quarter, but you don't even have to watch the game. You could just go to the stat sheet. Like B. West said, the game was lost in aggressiveness. They got to the line. They had 18 free throw attempts to 43. They made 18 three-pointers yesterday, shot 50% from three and just a tick below 50% from the floor, and lost the game. It literally was because of their lack of aggressiveness.
Their lack of defense is pretty much standard right now. That's why you can't squander opportunities on offense. Ben Simmons left a lot of plays on the floor last night offensively.
It wasn't not necessarily just Ben Simmons.
He's playing five shots.
Ben Simmons was not there last night. But even Embiid didn't have that sense of aggressiveness. Now that could have been a little bit because he wasn't there for a couple of
minutes. Where did you see that? He took 31 shots.
Yes.
He had a triple-double. What more do you want?
I was saying from him getting down super low, he had a lot of shots from 8 to 10 feet out.
Come on, Embiid is it's not a game where Embiid was a problem.
I'm not trying to rip Embiid for last night. He was literally the only reason that we were in that game. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying there just needs to be aggressiveness all the way around, and you're not going to get Mike Scott hitting those kind of threes.
No, you're not. It was an aberration.
Just two or three games before that, he was Brick City.
Yeah, he's not a deft three-point shooter. He can make them, but he's not. You can't count on him to go 6 for 8.
No, exactly. That's exactly right. But getting past that, let's go to clear pastures. If the Sixers got past the second round, who would you rather? Would you rather them face the Bucks, with the Bucks obviously having home court, or would you rather them facing a hot Celtics team with the Sixers having home court?
Celtics.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take on the Celtics. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter at this point. They don't look like they're up at the same level with Milwaukee, Toronto, or the Celtics at this point.
No. Celtics have been way more inconsistent, though. You don't know what you're getting. So if you have to make a choice, the Bucks have been consistent all year. There's a reason they have the best record in all of the NBA. Yeah. You rather play the Celtics. You just do, because they're up and down. The Bucks are never down.
Bucks have a superstar you can count on any night to bust you. You know? He's Michael Jordan right now, that guy.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The reason why I would say this, the Bucks, only is because the Celtics have the confidence and thought process that they can beat us every time.
Yep.
And they've done that. And I think the Bucks can have a night where their Giannis is off. They can have a night where Giannis doesn't go to the foul line 21 times. They can have a night where some of their three-point shooters are not hitting like that. It can be a competitive game. Listen, up until 4 or 5 minutes left in that game, we were right there. We were winning.
Yeah, and it was the horrible possession where J.J. Redick rushes an off-balance three-pointer that leads to a break. It was a terrible possession. That's the time where you need coaching, where you need control. And they didn't have control in that possession at all.
that's the time when you have to call a play. I mean, there was a couple possessions where you say,
"You're right.
What are we doing? We come down, we pass the ball to Embiid at the top of the key.
The play, but the actual play was Ben had the ball in his hands on a dribble drive, and like he's done, like he did at least 15 times last night, stopped because he saw two defenders. So the stop was the kick out to back to the 3-point line, which resulted in that bad possession.
This is the weird thing about Ben to me. I think he dribbles probably better than Giannis. I think he's probably a better dribbler.
Mm-hmm.
He's just as quick, probably a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. He's not as strong. So he has ability to go around guys and make them, you know, make them move and go.
That's the same thing I see.
He just doesn't.
I see the same thing. I don't understand how he it's the, okay, the obstacle's been put in front of him, but you've got the athletic ability to beat the obstacle. So instead of quitting on the obstacle, take on the obstacle.
So again, I know that Brett is not this guy that says do this and do that. He's more of a player's type of coach. But this is what the conversation is, and I'm sure they've had it. And I'm not breaking news here. The conversation should be simple. Ben, this is the guy that we need you to be. There was times when Andy Reid would call me into the office and say, "Hey, listen, I want you to see what Tiki Barber did on this play, or Marshall Faulk did on this play. Now we're going to put this play in, and I need you to do pretty much the same thing that these guys did, because we can be successful with that." And I'm sure they've had this conversation with Ben. I'm just wondering why that's not being executed. Is it a lack of respect for the coach? Is it his style? Or the coach not holding guys accountable for what they need them to do to be successful? Because right now, this same thing that we continue to go through, that's not going to get us to win.
No, it's not. Listen, there are a lot of things that Ben doesn't do, and we focus on him. He doesn't shoot the ball, and he did make a jumper last night. But there are three things he does really well. One is the transition game where they get him the ball, and he's flying up the floor, and he's going to be able to beat anybody at the basket on the transition. I'm not seeing enough of that. With the ball at the top, even if they bring another defender over, he somehow has to be able to beat that other defender, go around him, split him, cross him over, do something and get to the basket. And the third thing he does is post up low, which they do occasionally. Those are the three things they need to get engaged with him to do.
I didn't see enough post ups by Ben last night.
No.
And here's the problem with the transition thing. And I think that's a great regular season deal. In the postseason, especially against athletic teams, the Celtics, Raptors, and the Bucks, all three good teams, probably just as good as we are, they get back on defense. They hustle back.
Yeah, but they're off balance. When you're getting back on defense and the guy's coming at you, you're not in the best defensive posture. That guy with the basketball, if he's deft enough, gets past whatever you're trying to do.
If he wants to score.
That's what I'm saying.
And get a layup. That's not what Ben wants to do. That's the biggest issue. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to I don't even think he's actually helping people get involved in the game like a traditional point guard is. I think he's just making moves and then passing it out. And I don't think that this team can win consistently like that.
It's all he's doing is passing it out. All he's doing is dribble drive, stop for after 5 feet because two guys are there, and then kick it back out and then disappear. That's the way he's played last night.
If he would face the basket, even if he doesn't shoot it, he becomes a threat to go to the basket. He draws a defense, hand off to Embiid for a dunk, or even a kick out at that point. What he's doing, because he's not presenting a threat to the defense, they're not even checking him. So they're still out on JJ. They're still out on Tobias. They're not even collapsing because he's not looking at the basket. I mean, to me, that's a simple fix, but I also believe that Ben Simmons should probably already know that. He should be already doing these types of things, and if he isn't, then the player and the coach are at fault. And
his track record, unfortunately, against really good teams is not that good. He's had occasional good games. He had a good game against Golden State. But regularly, good teams seem to bring out the insecurities in him.
They bully him. And it's flat out, they bully him. They don't allow him to get comfortable in the games. And maybe we talk about calling plays. Maybe if Brett wants to get Ben involved earlier, maybe they need to do that pick that they do on the left-hand side of the floor and try to get him a dunk early. Maybe get him to the basket early. Maybe get him in the post a little bit earlier in the game instead of creating for other guys. Because you know Embiid, he's going to get his buckets no matter what. JJ's going to get his shots up. Tobias knows how to get his shots up off rebounds in different situations. And Jimmy's a closer. So maybe you say, listen, we're going into the game. We're going to get Ben going early, so we don't have to worry about him being lost in the shuffle the entire game. that's a thought process changer, and for this basketball team, and I just don't know that they have it. Hey, here's another concern of mine, and Tyrone is constantly trying to talk me out of this. I'm concerned about Embiid's condition. In a 7-game series, I know they may not play back-to-back, but every couple of nights, let's say they go 7 games in the first round. I'm concerned about Embiid in that second round. I'm concerned about, can he carry this team 2 rounds in a row with his current condition? I'm not sure.
All right. Legitimate. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll discuss it. Mike Missanelli Show with Brian Westbrook till 5. We have Philly's lineup. We'll reveal it after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Missanelli Show. Time for the Twitter poll update with Miss Natalie Eganoff, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat.
Thank you very much, Mike. Today's Twitter poll has over, how many votes does it have on it? It has over 1,700 votes on it. Do you have faith Ben Simmons will step up in the playoffs? 48% say yes, 52% say no.
All righty then. The Phillies lineup is out again. It's the same lineup. It's the same starting lineup. Gabe, Mr. Stability. The same lineup. Going McCutcheon, Gene Segura, Bryce Harper, Rhys Hoskins still in the four hole. JT Realmuto, Herrera, Hernandez, Franco, and the pitcher. And tonight is a matchup, the Twins in town. Jake Odorizzi versus Nick Pivetta. Odorizzi's first outing, 6 innings pitch, give up 1 hit, 1 run, struck out 11.
It's good.
He's a good pitcher. He's a flamethrower. This is the first time two Italians have faced off each other against each other since a drop the mic contest in ancient Rome at the Colosseum. Seriously, Da Vinci against Galileo. Who wins that, Tyrone?
I'm gonna go Da Vinci.
I would go Da Vinci too.
Same.
Da Vinci, yeah. Da Vinci can get there. You say the world is round. I ain't gonna have you around. Eat my canvas, you space ass cadet. I just put you in a world of regret. Boom.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Drop the mic.
It's a money mic right there.
Oh, yeah, that's Money Mike.
That's Money Mike.
With the big dollar sign.
Spitting Da Vinci rhymes.
You say the world is round. I ain't gonna have you around.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, man.
That's a violation.
That's good.
Come on.
Da Vinci. Hey, Mike. Da Vinci, the winner at the Coliseum. Bam.
Oh, man.
I watched the Phillies game. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, Wednesday. Whenever they played the Nationals, man. So last week I was disappointed in myself because I wasn't as excited as you were about the Phillies, and certainly the fans were about the Phillies. And I had to see what was going on. So I go back and I watch all the games, and I started to get that fever. So I pulled up to the TV on Wednesday, and I watched the game. And I'm excited all game long. They're up big, and actually they're down. They're up. They're going back and forth. They score 8 runs. And then they give it up at the end. And I go back to a question that we talked about, you know, probably early on. They're pitching.
That was a hurtful loss.
Is it going to be enough in the long run? We see the bats. We see what they have going on.
We discussed the next day the back end and whether the Phillies are in a position where they would have to pursue Craig Kimbrell, who is available out there, or do they just stick with what they believe in, that these two guys at the end, Robertson and Dominguez, can get it done? It's an interesting question.
Robertson got rocked.
He did. He walked, guys.
Yeah, but he walked. But here's the other thing. If you're paying, willing to pay Bryce, you bring in a couple other key players. Yep. Why wouldn't you go get the pitchers?
Kimbrel won 6 years, $100 million.
So what? Pay the money. So what? I mean,
for Closer, that's like, it's like, Closer's in a lot of ways are like kickers, although Kimbrel has some of the most successful numbers ever. But you're talking about a guy you're going to pay for 6 years to be a closer who's going to lose his velocity somewhere along the line.
Well, what he's going to do is he's going to win you games like the one on Wednesday.
That's this year
what
he's he will.
Do most important.
This year.
And maybe this year is the year that you get a championship.
Yeah,
maybe this is all
you're saddled with a 6-year, $100 million contract with a closer who could go bad. They're like kickers, Brian.
Hey, listen, I like championships.
Well, I hear
you. That's what I like.
Well, we'll see. They have to go a little longer to see if they can trust these two guys. Let's go to Stallworth in Philly. Stallworth, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Stall?
Yo, Eminem.
What's going on?
You and B. West are making great points. No, I'm chilling, man. Hanging in there.
Good.
I got two main points that I want to make. And before I get to them, I'm just going to make a quick side point.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is a beast. Like, he's my favorite player in the league. He's a different breed, man. Like, he just wants to destroy you. He don't even want to be friends with cats off of the court.
Yeah.
All he wants to do is destroy you on the court.
Yep.
That's my favorite part of him right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he basically is
unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop. And he knows you're not going to stop him. Mm-hmm. And his mentality is, you're not going to stop me. You're going to have to foul me to get me to not make a basket. And even when you foul him a lot of times, he still won't make the basket. But Ben is not going to be that cat. That's not how he's built. But Ben has to be. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment and the last thing that I see become the narrative. Ben was a little more aggressive in that game that we beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. Like, he came back at Giannis a little more in that game. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Giannis dumped on him. He did it one time.
I know what you're talking about. Listen, it comes down to this, Stallworth. You agree with me, and Brian, you agree. Personal pride of a great player. Now he didn't have that last night. He was watching a guy just rake him, and he wasn't willing to give back.
That's what made me upset. Me and my cousin talked about it. It was like Giannis was sunning him, and he ain't come back at all. And I'm like, dog, you're not embarrassed by this?
That's a great point. You're not embarrassed by it. You got to be talking to yourself as a great player, saying, I got to do something.
That's part of the NBA culture. That's what playground basketball is.
Exactly, yeah.
You make a three, I'm coming back, I'm shooting a three.
Yes.
You dunk on me, guess what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go try to dunk on you. He didn't have
right.
that last night.
And you're right that he's got the similar skill. Listen, Giannis is a lot stronger, but he's got the similar quickness skill and handle skill and height skill to beat people off the dribble to the basket, and he was just an unwilling participant last night to do it.
Mentally off last night. He was mentally soft last night as well. So.
Let's go to Lamar in Philly. Lamar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lamar.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Mark?
Mike, I'm surprised at you, Mike. I feel like it's taken you so long to finally come to this conclusion about Ben. I called you about early in the season, and your response to me was, Ben does so much more on the floor, so you just brushed me off.
Well, but he does. You can't ignore the fact that, listen, when he's willing, he's a great player.
But Mike, he's a great player, but he's passive aggressive without a jump shot.
Jump shot can't be discussed anymore.
Okay.
Because we already know that. So you got to focus on what he can do.
But Mike, he's too passive aggressive to do the other thing also.
But sometimes he's not. That's the confusing part is. The Golden State game, he was a tiger. Right?
Okay, Mike, so let me ask you this question. And I'm curious to this myself. With what he's given you and with what he's shown you in the last couple of years, and it's almost like as fans we think that he's just not aggressive, never will be aggressive, and you never know what the jump shot will be. Is he a max player?
Of course.
Oh.
Of course he is. It's the day and age where you don't lose great players. You can't say we can afford to let him go. You can't afford to let a guy like that go. You have to develop him further.
Mike, what year do you develop Ben Simmons? Did he develop?
He's only in his second year.
But he's been around the league, Mike, for 3 years.
It doesn't matter. He's been around the league. He's only been playing for 2 years.
Well, B. West stole a lot of my thunder. So I feel like as long as B. West got you to hear what his opening speech was, I'm happy with that. B. West stole a lot of my thunder because a lot of my points, I would want to get them out to you, but I get on the phone and you press for time. You just try to pick the one main point and get over with.
Listen, man, the good things he does are spectacular. All right? So you don't give up on that. You don't just get frustrated and say, well, he didn't play against Milwaukee. He's done, and I don't want him anymore. Yeah, so that's the defeatist attitude that a lot of Philadelphia fans have. I agree with Tyrone in that he is young. He's just not ready yet. But I disagree with Tyrone in that he can influence the game if he wants to on almost every possession. And he doesn't want to. And that's the thing that bogs me down.
You know, the thing about Ben, and he's good enough, and Giannis does this too. He can influence the game on both sides of the ball. So obviously he didn't have it going last night offensively, but he didn't do, I didn't even know he was playing defense last night. I mean, if you're not going to give me boards, you're not going to do different things, you're not going to give me points, at least give me something on the defensive side of the ball. Get a block. Do something. Get a steal. Get a run out, a layup.
It definitely got in his mind that he couldn't do anything with Giannis. And so he stopped competing defensively. He was very timid and let him do anything he wanted out there.
You know, Mike, this is the point of the season where this team should be sharpening their tools. They should be getting ready, gearing up for the playoffs. And we should see not a perfect team, but we should see a semblance of a team that can win on a consistent basis, especially if we're talking about getting into the finals, NBA finals. We didn't see that last night.
I agree. And I'm telling you, it's a bad. I get a bad feeling because now I'm thinking they're more likely to lose the second round than win. And I never had that feeling
that.
Before.
Don't you say
I'm
that.
Telling you, last night's game gave me that thought before I nodded off. Before I nodded off. It took a while to nod off. But before I nodded off, that was the last thought I took.
Mike, I'm going to give you a little correction there. Mm. That was one game. I don't think Ben's off for 5-6 games straight. That was one game. Okay. I don't see him being off that same way for 5-6 games.
Can this team, the way that some of them disappear, can they win 4 games against 2 really good teams?
What if Jimmy Butler would have been that guy that said, Ben, get your butt in gear. What the heck are you doing?
Done that so far? You think Jimmy Butler's done that with him so far? Jimmy Butler hasn't done anything for that.
Playoffs brings out a different beast.
Okay, all right. We'll see. We'll take a break, come back. Brian Westbrook's still with us, still 5. Back this 97.5 to Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It is 4:48. It is the Mike Mussell Show, 97.5 tonight. We're going to Brian Westbrook for a few more minutes. I wanted to share this story. It's not a happy tale, but it's something that I need to bring up to Brian because I've been going email exchange with this lady who listens to this show, and her name's Rebecca. And unfortunately, she lost her son, Eric, at age 22 to suicide. And she's telling me stories about how he was happy when he was driving around in the car with her listening to this particular show. But she just sent me an email she wanted to share with you, Brian. And she said that she went out to clean his apartment this week and she found that in his book bag that he was carrying around a photo he had taken with you from 2 summers ago at Fantasy Fest. And it meant that much to him that he kept it in his book bag the whole time. So she wanted me to share that with you. So our hearts and prayers go out to Rebecca who lost them. I mean, that's just a terrible thing to have.
Thank you for sharing. Certainly, condolences and prayers go out to Rebecca for that. Thank you for sharing. I really do appreciate that.
Let's go back to the phones.
Real fast, Mike, we can. Yes. For anybody out there who might be going through something similar, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. If you are having thoughts
That's a good pull by you.
Please don't hesitate to call, and hopefully we can avoid these tragedies from happening.
Yeah. I mean, he was about to graduate from college too. So it's a real sad tale. Bodine and Yardley are on 97.5 Fanatic. Bodine.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
How are you, everybody? Hey, B. West, Tyrone, hey, Natalie. What's up? Hey, Mike. Do you remember when I called 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Said, you know, about toughness and from Ridley and basketball and all that.
Yep.
So here's what's going on. Oh, first, let me tell you this one. So I meet this girl, And she's like, come on over. Nobody's home. So I go over, and nobody's home. Hey, B. West, you know, you were one of my favorite players back in the day. And I'm 43. I think you're probably 41, probably. And, you know, you were the best brook in all the brooks in the Delaware Valley, man. You were the man. So I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
No problem. Now, you guys are right. So say we're sitting in the room and we're listening to the Sixers. You guys are totally right. Their attitude is lacking leadership. Brett Brown, they're basically being a bunch of wimps. They're like playing JV basketball and not varsity basketball because they don't have any toughness. If we're in a room together, all of us, and the Godfather walks in, Phil Jackson, who's the psychological expert at basketball, he would say three things. They have length. They have talent. But they don't have experience and toughness. It's their two weaknesses. So what I would say to Brett Brown is, I wonder if you could send a message to him. They need to watch the movie. Your attitude reflects your leadership. They need to watch the movie Remember the Titans. That's what they need to do. They need to get tough. They're getting bullied.
That's not true!
Well, all right, but whatever. I don't think Remember the Titans is going to spur them to a four-game play.
He had a speech going on right there.
Yeah, he really did. He was. he starts with a joke, too. Jay in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, man, not much. Hey, just listening to you guys talk. Man, I'm definitely wanting to talk to you guys about, I know Ben's going through a lot. Joel, he's going 0-for-4 at the end of the game. But, dude, what's going on with our bench, man? I mean, it's really crazy. We can't seem to score at all when our bench is in. So, I mean, what's the deal with this, man? I mean, maybe we could pick up somebody like Lou Williams.
You can't get anybody now. The trade deadline's over. There's nobody you can get, bro.
But during the trade deadline, that would have been great, you know.
But they didn't get him. So, like, what are we talking about? Players that they should have gotten. It's over now. You gotta run with what you got. And we understand their bench isn't that good, but they've got to come up with a rotation for their bench. They don't even have that settled yet. They don't even know who's going to play off the bench.
Right, that's true. That's very true. But who's going to be that main scorer off the bench?
Because they don't have a main scorer. They don't have a scorer on their bench. You see a scorer on their bench that they don't have one.
And that's what scares the crap out of me, man.
Well, I mean, it's pretty evident that they don't have somebody off their bench that can score at will. They're going to, Brian, we're talking about, like, who they can use off the bench. And to me, you got to cut down your rotation, but you really can't cut down your rotation because you got to try different things. Like, he's not going to stop playing TJ McConnell. So that means 10 guys have to play. If you're going to play Scott, Ennis, Simmons, Jonathan Simmons, and Greg Monroe as your backup five. So TJ's got to play. So you got to go almost 10 deep.
No way to do that. I mean, you can't do that in the playoffs.
I understand, but I'd like to see what who's he going to cut out? We don't even know that yet. He's playing Zaire Smith in a game last night. Zaire Smith can't play yet.
No, these are things you're supposed to have already known at this point. That's what I was trying to mention.
Yeah, he doesn't know who's coming off his bench.
But again, that doesn't mean that whatever he decides works out. That doesn't mean that it does. Yeah, of course he should know. It still could possibly work out. I think everyone in Philadelphia is hoping that it does, because we know from last year, we know that we need a bench to be able to win. I mean, it's as simple as that.
All right. Brian, it's been a pleasure, man. I don't know if you helped me any with my depression over this, but nope. It's been a spirited hour, and we thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
All right, Brian Westbrook joining us every Friday from 4 to 5, brought to us by Landis Block. It's your jaw-dropping backyard paradise, online at landisbc.com. We go into the 5 o'clock hour talking about the Sixers. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.